Coming up, reducing sprint car wicker bills was supposed to reduce dirty air and improve the racing, but some think it's done the opposite. The question, though, is why hasn't it worked? One driver has an interesting idea, and we'll dive into that today. Let's go. It's Wednesday, March 27th. I'm Justin Fiedler. This is Dirt Tracker Daily, presented by Kubota Genuine Parts. If you currently own or are going to own Kubota equipment in the near future, make sure to get the My Kubota app. It's your ultimate companion for managing your Kubota equipment on the go. Stay connected with your machinery at all times with real-time monitoring and maintenance reminders. You can track your equipment's performance, view manuals, and more with just a few taps. Never miss a beat with My Kubota because your success is Kubota's priority. Download now and revolutionize the way you work with your Kubota. You can find the app in the Apple App or Google Play stores. You can scan the QR code that's on the screen right now, or you can click the links below in the video description. Through this opening few months of the winged sprint car season, one area we've been focused on has been the wings themselves with all of this wicker bill talk. The World of Outlaws, High Limit, and Central Pennsylvania have cut down those wicker bills from 2 inches down to 1. The hope being that the cars would be unhooked a bit, create less dirty air for the trailing cars, and we would see better racing. But as we've documented, many in the sport aren't convinced it's worked. Two tracks in Ohio have gone so far as to go completely the other direction, with Attica and Fremont instead choosing to add an inch to the wickers, with teams allowed to go there to as much as 3 inches. And several drivers have talked publicly about how they don't believe the change has had the desired effect. As I said before, I am no scientist, and I hadn't yet heard from anyone else what exactly a plausible reason would be why the wicker reduction maybe hasn't worked. On the surface, it would seem to be a reasonable expectation that, you know, it would help this. But we might be running into that kind of sneaky law of unintended consequences here. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to take a look at some of the early race results and see if we could spot any noticeable differences in the numbers that might point us towards a difference with these smaller wickers this season. We've heard the feedback from the drivers on how the cars feel, but do the numbers actually show us anything significant? And on a cursory glance, the answer appears to be no. 5 Volusia races this year versus 5 in 2023, there were actually more position changes in the features this season than there were last year. Also, we had 3 double-digit hard chargers versus 2 a year ago. And if we compare High Limit and the All-Stars at East Bay, the All-Stars in 2023 had more position changes over 2 nights, but High Limit had 2 double-digit hard chargers. Winners each night came from the same starting positions as well. And if we go further with the Outlaws, again, double-digit hard chargers both nights at Cotton Bowl and at Kennedale. We've also yet to have a repeat winner through 8 Outlaw nights. And as for where those World of Outlaws feature winners are coming from, we've had 3 from the pole, 1 from 2nd, 2 from 3rd, 1 from 4th, and 1 from 7th. So half of the winners have come from the front row, and half have come from row 2 or further back. If a statistics professional was looking at all this, we wouldn't call these differences statistically significant. The racing doesn't appear to have really changed one way or the other, but the sample size is still pretty damn small at this point. But back to a possible reason why the wicker reduction hasn't worked. Sprint car driver Logan Wagner had some interesting comments a few days ago on Twitter in response to a video shared by Vermeer crew chief Clint Boyles. That video Boyles retweeted showed a wing in a wind tunnel and how the air reacts to it. Boyles used it as an illustration of what that dreaded dirty air would look like. Wagner, while being a many-time track champion at Port Royal, is also a professional pilot, so it would appear as though he does have some expertise in the area of wings. His thought was that teams are increasing the angle of the wings, he called it angle of attack, to try and make up for the lost downforce from the reduced wicker. He effectively means the teams are taking the wings and tilting them up more to try to catch more air to effectively fix that, you know, the lost air that they don't have from the reduced wicker bills. So instead of reducing dirty air with that smaller wicker, the cars are still punching a big hole in the air with wings that are now tilted more and still creating that dirty air for the trailing cars. He said he thinks the only way to eliminate the problem would be to introduce a maximum angle rule. And at the moment, none of the series or tracks, including the World of Outlaws, have a rule about how much wing angle you can run. On some level, it's a bit of a self-policing situation because too much wing angle eventually leads to higher drag and the car will then slow down. So there is a happy medium in there regardless of what size wicker you run. Remember too that wings are adjustable from inside the cockpit, so if any sort of maximum angle rule was put into place, that would probably affect wing sliders as well. If you aren't aware, the drivers actually have like a small handle inside the car that they can pull back or push forward that actually changes like where the wing is on the car. And all of this, I still have no idea what the correct direction is, but I thought Wagner's thoughts were worth sharing as well as some of these numbers. The one-inch wicker remains in place this weekend for the outlaw shows, and this is still an ongoing investigation by the people at the top of the sport into what works here and what doesn't. One schedule note for you today, the Kubota High Limit Sprint Car Show at Kokomo Speedway has been moved up one day. It was originally scheduled for Tuesday, May 14th, but now it will be run on Monday, May 13th. This change moves it away from a direct conflict with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as the first day of Indy 500 practice is on May 14th. If you aren't aware, Kokomo is about 60-ish miles north of the Indy area, and removing this conflict is good for both race fans in the area that want to try to attend both, and Kyle Larson, who is attempting his first Indy 500 this year. That first half of May will be busy for the High Limit teams as they will race 9 times from May 1st through May 18th. They've got stops at 81 Speedway, Lakeside, 34 Raceway, Tri-City, Kokomo, and then they go to New York, Outlaw, Utica Rome, and Fonda. I did see some comments about how this new date does conflict with the Flow Racing Night in America late model show at Brownstown, which is about 70 or 80 miles south of Indy, which that definitely does kind of suck. But with only so many days during the year, it's kind of impossible to avoid every single conflict. You can see the news release and the full schedule over at highlimitracing.com. In Dirt Racing podcast land this week, Winged Nation has Carson Macedo and Corey Eliason. Passing Points has Cody Cordell talking ASCS. QuickTime has Lonnie Wheatley also talking ASCS. Dirt Track Confessions has World Racing Group's Jeff Hockman. Hoagie's Garage has Carson McCarl and Landon Crawley. Do Which on Dirt has Robert Tyler. Racing Roundup has Cassidy Kreitz. The Caution Free podcast has Jeremy Weaver. And there are new episodes of The Dirt Reporters, The Dirt Nerds, Dirt Tracks and Rib Racks, and Turn Two Terribles. One new addition this week to the podcast page is the Drivers Project podcast. It's hosted by Daryl Turford, along with Dominic Selzy and JJ Hickel. They've done 3 episodes so far, plus a 4th with Christopher Bell talking about Rick Ferkel. You can find it along with all of the episodes I mentioned, all of these shows over at dirttracker.com/watchtonight. All right, that's it for the show today. We did blow past 30,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel yesterday, so thank you very much for that. At last check, we're at 30,120 at the moment. Also, starting this week, I've been posting full daily shows to the Dirt Tracker Facebook page. I've done this sporadically in the past, trying to kind of experiment and see if it works, but I think we're just going to keep it rolling there for now. I've been working pretty hard to build out the Dirt Tracker Facebook page the last several months because I know a lot of folks hang out there, and I want to make it as easy as possible for you to kind of get your dirt racing fix and to see everything that's going on with the show. So if you don't already follow there and want to, you can find it at facebook.com/dirttracker. All right, hope you guys have a great Wednesday out there. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.